Today we continue our series entitled 411 at 434. And what we've been doing over the past couple of weeks, last 2 weeks actually, we've been in a just looking at some things that are foundational, I believe, foundational that we need to understand about church, specifically the ministry of this church as we move forward, because all of those things become a part of this journey that we're on together. Today, if it goes well, I think we will finish up a lot of that kind of that backdrop, big picture look at church. And then we're going to move into some specifics about what it means when you say, I want to be a part of a church, particularly this church, what membership means, what that looks like. And then we're going to talk the last week about transformation and why that is maybe not what you always thought it was, but is essential for you to be engaged in as a follower. And so that's kind of where we're going to be, and then we've been stopping and trying to give you guys time to ask questions and add some things to it, so we'll do that as well this morning. So that being said, and I will watch the clock. Last week we went over, and they were stocked up in the hallways looking at me, trying to get in the windows and things like that, and we have baby dedication this morning, so I do need to get back and say hello to the kiddos before they come in. So that being said, last week we talked... And we're building on the idea where we were in Acts 2, where we talked about the basics of church a few weeks ago, and then we started talking about just specifics about what a church is supposed to be. And we said things about the church is not buildings, but people. Each of us are on a journey. Every person has a gift and is called to ministry, building up the body of Christ. Our call is to be Christian, not religious. We had a long chat about that. We talked about Luke chapter 6, that Jesus dealt with the fact that people didn't like change and they didn't like new stuff, but you don't put old wine in new wineskins, or new wine in old wineskins. Church ministry evolves out of needs as they arise. That was Acts chapter 6. The church must be alert so they can respond proactively instead of reactively, and the church must not program itself to death. Now, that's kind of where we've been on top of all the other things we talked about as we talked about church. So I want to pick up with those ideas again. And again, these are ideas that are foundational for us that certainly are not new, but again, important. One of the things I am convinced of is that the church should be one of the more creative places in the culture. And that the church needs to strive for excellence in what it does. And I think that has been a struggle for church and church ministry, because church is always trying to catch up. For our leaders in the room, they've heard me say over and over again, you've heard me say it, it's what we do, but we strive for perfection, we settle for excellence. I just really believe that if you take seriously the call of Christ is to be all that you are and be the best you that you were created to be the you that you were destined to be. And I don't understand sometimes when we do things in Jesus' name and we do things in the church world that sometimes we just think that, yeah, we can just kind of phone it in. It doesn't take a top priority. It's like something extra that we do on top of everything else, and we let other things have a greater priority than connecting with the body of Christ and being a part of the bride of Christ. I just don't think that washes or matches up with what I understand spiritually. And so I think that the church doesn't have to do everything. We've talked about that already, that you know we live in a world of church shoppers and church hoppers. But very few come to the moment by saying, what do I have to offer? What do I have that I can bring that might make this body of Christ a better place? Which, again, because we've allowed our culture to kind of dictate how we look for church. But I'm convinced that churches don't need to do everything. They do need to do the things that they are called to do and do them well. And don't do ministry by mediocrity. I mean, if you're not going to do it well and you're going to halfway attempt it, perhaps you ought not to attempt it. Now, that's just a novel thing when it comes to church, because sometimes it's been, I've been in leadership meetings at some churches, not the churches I've pastored, but some churches that said, well, everybody else do it, we just need to be doing it. Well, why? I mean, that's silly. I've had people look at me before and say, well, I want you to do this. And I'll say, well, why? And they explain, I said, well, are you going to attend? Well, no, but we need to be doing this. Well, I can guarantee you, if you ever come with a request like that, the answer before we walk out of the room is, well, just because you want to do it, but you're not going to participate in it, I can rest assured I don't want to participate in it either. I mean, I don't want to be a part of that. It's not going to happen. I had somebody tell me one time, you ought to be doing a Bible study on Sunday nights whether anybody comes or not. And I said, well, let's just advertise it for the dumb people, because that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But they actually said that to me out loud with people around. I'm like, huh? So, I think, though, we need to do what we do and try to do it as well as we possibly can, you know, with great thought, with a call, with a sense of commitment, and a reason. And I think that sometimes at church we don't know the reason we do things. And that's a shame. Sometimes you can't communicate that very well. Sometimes people don't want to listen. But, you know, there needs to be a rationale, a God call into the things that you do and how you do them. And so I really think that's important for church. And I can promise you that in ministry we will do that here. I've also said before that church is a hospital where the people come because we are imperfect. We are tragically flawed. We are sinners. It is the weekly meeting of Sinners Anonymous. It's not a 5-star hotel. It's a hospital, not a hotel. My expectation when you walk in the door is you're tragically flawed. Your expectation should be that I'm tragically flawed. But because we are here, we're in the game trying to do it better. The agenda that you come with doesn't matter. Once you walk in the door, whatever agenda it is, you need to park it at the door and walk in with the agenda that you're going to be what God has called you to be, and that's why you're here. And you've come understanding that where you are right now is not where you need to stay, and you need to be better. That mentality allows us to grow and allows us to become so much more than we could ever be. And so I think of church as a hospital. It is the weekly Sinners Anonymous meeting. That's who we are. That's what we are. That's us on our best week. And the perfect people are going to other places. And that's good. There needs to be a church for the perfect people. I want to be a part of the church where grace is a part of who we are. We talked about this a little bit with tradition. But I want to come back with one time because it's something else that's in my notes. With the exception of biblical truth, nothing in my mind in church is written in stone. A lot of what we do and we think is important in church is really tradition that has no basis in the Bible. It's just a tradition that somehow someone has locked onto and it's been carried forward through the years. And a lot of times what we want, it really is a style preference, as we talked about before. But it may or may not have a foundation in the Bible. And if it doesn't have a biblical foundation to it, then the question is, do you have to do it? And what does that look like? And how is that going to be? And how's it going to flesh out? Because, again, I am very much, and if you haven't figured this out, you have figured this out by now. I am all about trying to figure out how to move you forward in your journey and grow you. I don't really care what the trappings are around that. I want you to grow. I want you to engage in that process. I want those to be the kind of conversations that you bring to the moment. And so the church has to have freedom to try new things, explore new avenues, figure out new ways of doing things, which is where a lot of our Horizon ministries have come from, just really trying to push the envelope. And things can be seasonal. And as we talked about evaluating things last week, there's a season for different styles of ministry or different types of ministry, and sometimes that season ends and you start something else. And I can rest assured, if you're being obedient, if a season closes, there's a new one coming. And I think a lot of times our growth is seasonal. One of the things that church has struggled with through the years is that once they start something, they never can stop it. And then you go long enough and no one knows why they do it anymore. I know churches in town that do cantatas because, well, that's just what they do. The people have quit participating and buying in a long time ago, but there's a few that just do it because that's just what they do. There's no passion for it. They just do it. And when it's done, then they do it again the next year, and they just keep going because, well, that's what we've always done. And again, if you lose sight of why and you can't answer the why and you can't do anything except manufacture old reasons for doing it, then maybe that season is done. And that's tough, by the way. Which brings me to my next number, whatever it would be by this time. Failure's okay. You got to know that. Failure's okay. If this is the weekly meeting of Sinners Anonymous, I would expect that somewhere during this week you've had a colossal failure. And if you haven't, the person sitting in front of you has, except beyond me. there's something about us that, you know, we're afraid to fail. We're afraid to let other people see our failures. But, you know, it's okay to fail. It's okay to fail. Everybody does. It's not the end of the world unless you want it to be the end of the world. Usually when people fail, what happens is they're the ones that can't get beyond it. Everyone else can get on page with it because we all understand it, right? And so failure is okay. And hopefully church can be an environment where you can rediscover and be reminded that God's grace is bigger than your failure. And that's important. Now, with that said, then there are some very specific things with those big things that really become, I guess, bullet points for us at the church at 434. And it is the type of church that we must be simply because it's what we're called to be. And part of it goes back and kind of pulls from the things we've been talking about. So the first thing I would share with you is that church at 434 must be a church with a vision. If we have a vision, then we have a purpose and we'll be on mission. Our mission is to touch and change the world with love of God. Our vision is to lead people in discovering the excitement and adventure of living for Jesus. And if you have a vision, you are an innovator, not an imitator, because the vision is fresh and it's from God. If you discover what it means to live a life for Jesus and you really begin to understand that it is exciting and it is an adventure, that will mobilize you and get you out of bed every single day of your life, every day. No matter what you face, no matter whether it's good or bad, I mean, it's part of the adventure He's called you to. And if we'll do that, then what happens is we take that vision, that moment, and then we become a people who are on mission. And we're touching and changing the world with the love of Christ. Because you face your workplace, you face that meeting that you have, you face those people that you like or the people that you don't like, and all of a sudden you're impacting their life and you're touching their life and you're letting the light of Jesus and the love of Jesus shine through you. If anything, the church in general, but that we here specifically, will be a church that will hold to that vision. It is exciting. It's an adventure to live for Jesus. If you were bored, hear me carefully, you're not following very well. Because there's always something new, always something exciting, something to be doing, some place to be using your gifts. And so the church must be a church with a vision. The church at 434 also must be a church of prayer. That is one of the foundational parts of transformation, your prayer life, your walk with God. We pray at things, and we've talked about praying at things from 360 degrees. But even beyond that, where we pray above it, below it, around it, inside, outside, we look at it from every angle. Because if you are prayerful in the decision-making process, then you're always ready and poised to make decisions. One of the things that happens to us in life sometimes is that we're forced to make a decision. We're not prayed up. You ever had that moment where you're getting ready to decide something and you think in your head, boy, I wish I could pray about this a little bit more? We all have those moments. But you're going to be okay and survive those moments if you get to those moments and you're prayed up. The problem is, for a lot of people, they don't pray about it until they're in crisis. Now, I know that's not you. That would be the other class. But the other class over there sometimes, some of those people, I'm telling you, they wait till a good crisis comes along to pray. For you in your life, when the crisis comes, if you're prayed up, guess what? The crisis just became a lot more manageable. I mean, it makes sense, right? So foundationally, you've got to develop prayer as a part of the discipline of your life, and because that leads to transformation. We're going to talk about transformation later. So let me just say this. If you're praying, then the church will be stronger. If we are praying people, then we'll be able to navigate whatever water that we have to navigate. If we're praying people, then the impossible becomes possible. And if we're praying people, we'll be able to see things that others can't see. And so the church at 434 is going to be a church of prayer. But the expectation for that is also that you will come as a follower and you're ready, that your life will be transforming and you're going to be prayed up and ready to roll. I'm going to be prayed up and ready to roll. And together we're going to step in and be a people who, because we are connected with God and we have an open-ended conversation going with God, we're always going to be able to respond in a way that honors Him. We're going to live life and we're going to face life on truth, biblical truth. And if we do that, and if we know God and we have an intimacy with God, we're going to be okay. The impossible becomes possible. All right? The Church of 434 also will be a place of transformation, personal growth. That is going to be what we do. I talk about it a lot. We've rolled the dice on that. That's why you're here. You are here to change and become the person you were supposed to be. Jesus saved you so you could have an abundant life. Abundant life. The God-breathed life is what it is. That's what the Greek word means. And if you will decide that that's the life that you want, he died so you could have it now. Not later, but now. The abundant life begins today. And it's a choice that you have of how you're going to live your life, because you can live a life of abundance and be a person who lives a life that God created him to live. And that's also where it leads to the excitement of living for Jesus. Because there's something that's different when you know that what you're doing is a God thing. And as we grow as a people who are doing that, then we also become an exciting environment for people to be around. People say there's something different about that place. And we understand that church is not a place, it's people. And what they're really saying, there's something different about that group of people. Hence the questions. Some of you heard them in the city park a few weeks ago doing trunk or treat. Who are you and why do you do this? Let me translate that for you. There's something different about you. We heard it at Face the Fear. Who are you? Why do you do this? And it may have come from a different place, but there's something different about. You're going to hear it over the month of December in a variety of different environments, a variety of different ministry environments. One of the things that I shared with the guys at Drive a little while ago is that, if you guys have watched the events of the world over the past weekend, and, you guys, like everyone else, we've been shocked as we've seen what's happened in Paris, and we're reminded again that terror is real. We live in a very dangerous world. Interestingly enough, based on that and the people making the links to that, we've heard back this weekend from folks that picked up our DVD on How to Live Fearlessly, afraid because of what they've seen on the news, remembering what they heard on the DVD, and felt like it was time to reach out because they're fearful, because they went through a face-to-fear house and because something now fearful has happened in the culture around us again. Why do you do what you do? Because you want to be someone that can stand in the gap and be that person that when the rest of the world seems to be falling apart, you've got something to hold on to. And that you have something to share with the world around you. And so you have to be able to do that. You have to grow to make that happen. When you grow and trouble comes, and when you grow and circumstances don't go the way you want, you don't fall apart and you don't go crazy. But when crisis comes along and the pressure's on, what happens is, in that pressure cooker, you reveal who you really are. Sometimes that's not real pretty, and sometimes it's not real godly. And the idea is, grow so much that when the pressure's on, you become more godly. That he can grow you through that pressure cooker, and people see Jesus in you as you walk through it, and you walk through it with a toughness and a style and a grace that comes from God. That all happens when you're transforming. And that all happens for us individuals. And that's going to be the kind of church that we want. I have been told by some who got frustrated with me, I'm sick of you talking about transformation. And I said, well, what do you want me to talk about? Well, we talk about social issues. And my other churches do that. Go be social there. I'm going to talk about what God says about what you can be. And then we'll know how to interact with social issues. And we do talk about social issues, just usually not in that Sunday morning experience. And one of the things that happens for us is that we got to understand that transformation filters through everything we do. It becomes a part of everything that we are. And so what we've done here is we've tried to design an environment, and we will continue to design an environment where you can have, this sounds gimmicky, as much of God as you want. You know the old joke, I'll take a nickel's worth of God, please. Just enough to kind of get me through the day, but that's really all I want. What we've tried to do here is something that places are trying to do, and they're patterning it after a variety of different people and places. But what we're trying to do is take your Sunday morning worship experience and connect it to Wednesday evening midweek, to connect it to online resources, to connect it to the Sunrise Bible Study offerings, to give you an opportunity then to take and lay yourself a biblical foundation where you can then learn to navigate things that are going on in the world around you, be it the news of the day, or be it the relationship problem of the day, or be it the job situation of the day, or whatever that is. And then on top of that, give you ministry outlets where you can plug in and start using your giftedness and discover who it is that God has created you to be and strengthen you and grow. We try to coordinate all of that. Why? Because we are about transformation. So when I say earlier, it's not willy-nilly and just do everything. There's got to be a reason that you do what you do. And we always have to ask the question, how does this move us forward in our journey of faith? How does this give people an opportunity to grow and be more than they are? We will be transformational. The church of 434 must be a church with attitude. Positive attitude. Say that and clear that up. Someone say, well, I got plenty of attitude. Well, yeah, no, I'm talking about positive attitude. And here's the deal. If we believe that God has given us a mission, then we're going to be excited about how He blesses us. And that attitude is going to permeate who we are. We're going to be quick to say thanks, slow to gripe. If we believe that God has given us a mission, then we can lead with a confidence and an excitement and be willing to do the tough stuff and the easy stuff that needs to be done to keep moving forward. Because we have a mission and we know that. And so our attitude is going to be that we are going forward and God has better things for us tomorrow than He has today, and He's been really good today. If we believe that God has given us a mission, then we're going to be real in our approach to ministry. In other words, what we're going to be able to do is we're going to be able to roll up our sleeves and discover that God's going to put us in places and He's going to use us in ways that we never thought possible, and we're willing to do it. Because the attitude is we're going to be all in. And part of what we've been doing in this series is talking about our attitude, replacing your I can't with God can. And some of you have been working that out and fleshing that out in your life. I mean, I have an email from one of somebody, you know, if you're in the room or not, so I won't look at you. But as you were emailing me this week, one of the things you said is, I have tried so hard to lose the phrase, I can't, and lose it from my vocabulary. And I found out I say it a lot more than I thought I did. And so I find myself getting ready to say something and then going, and then trying to figure out another way to say what they were trying to say. It's good. That's good. That's practical. That's real. And so I think that we, as a body of Christ, the people of God, ought to be the people that live in this world no matter what's going on and have an attitude that basically exudes confidence in the future and what tomorrow holds, and know what to do in those moments when no one else knows what to do. In a world when Chicken Little is running around saying, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, we know who made the sky. And I got news for you, it ain't falling. It is okay. God is in control. He is at the helm, and He knows what He's doing. No matter how bad the news is, no matter how bad the world seems to be around us, no matter how bad it seems like things are just falling off and just rolling downhill rapidly, God knows. And I'm confident in that. And hopefully you are too. Transformation helps you be confident in that, by the way. And so that's one of the reasons that we keep moving forward. Church of 434 will be a church of focus and confidence. Confident in who God calls us to be, bold in following His leadership, and striving for excellence, and realizing that we will be able to do anything that He has called us to do. Here's the deal. If God calls us to do something, you can do it. Not because you're great, but because He is. If God calls you to something, you'll be able to do it. And He will figure out how to get you there. He'll get you the resources to do it. He'll figure out how to make it work. Sometimes it's not what you initially think it's going to be. A lot of times the calling of God is fleshed out on the way to something else. Because He only tends to give you a step at a time. Sometimes He gives you a big picture to orient you, and you start moving toward that, and you begin to discover, okay, God, I didn't know I was going to be doing this and this and this and this and this on the way. But that's great. That's God. And when you start following that way, there is something about staying focused on Him that gives you a confidence no matter what the situation is, you know you're going to be okay. The Church of 434, and we talked about this a little bit last week, but I'll throw it out there one more time, will be a church where we will strive for quality and we will evaluate a lot. We'll evaluate what we do in terms of impact, how well we did it, how well we were able to mobilize the team to get it done. We make mistakes, we'll grow from them. It's going to happen. We'll always try to plus what we're doing. And we'll always be willing to keep looking at it because it doesn't always have to last for another season. And then we talked about that already, so I'll let that go. Church of 434 will have a ministry mindset. We are a part of the kingdom of God. Faith is a daily adventure. What we do here on Sunday morning, although it's our gathering place, is the least of what we do each week. Because if you incorporate into your life what happens here, then the impact of this day happens on Monday, or really Sunday afternoon when you walk outside the walls. and we'll gather next week and we'll celebrate what you've done. We'll celebrate who God is and the opportunity he gave us, and we'll get out there and do it again. That's why we have a now what? What am I going to do with what I heard? What's going to happen? That's why we try to share on Wednesday night. What have you been doing with what you heard? How did that work? How did it not work? What's going on? I mean, those are the kind of things that you try to do, because that is who we're going to be. That's the journey that he's called us to. That's the journey he's called any church to. Because again, you know, a lot of folks come to church with a country club mindset. And membership has its privileges. Well, membership has its privileges. You know what they are? Great responsibility. And when you're obedient and you do what God asks, you know how he rewards it? More responsibility. I mean, a lot of people think, well, I'm just going to do this thing for God. I'm one, I'm done. No. You do it and you're obedient, guess what? He'll reward you with more talents. You got five, we'll give you 10. I mean, the amazing thing about God is that when you do what he asks, he entrusts you with more. And so here's the deal, and this is where it cuts, and this is where it cuts tough. And we're not going to go here this week. We may come back to it when we talk about transformation. But if you think, well, I'm not doing anything for God. Well, maybe you're not doing anything with God because you haven't done the little bit you were supposed to do to get started. Do the little bit, and he'll give you a bigger bit, and then a bigger bit, and then a bigger bit. And then he'll be saying, God, can you slow it down just a little bit? He goes, no, you're a big bit now. and he will continue to do that. And a lot of times people get frustrated because, well, I'm not doing anything for God. Well, what do you know to do? Do that. Start there, do that, and do that really, really well. And guess what? God will keep his promises, and God will do what God always does. He'll entrust you then with just a little bit more and make you ready along the way. And that's how it works. Church 434 will be a church with a heart for people. We are in the people business, and it's the good and the bad and the ugly. I will tell you as a pastor, one of the heartaches of my life, and the thing that it doesn't matter how long you go in ministry, I don't think it ever gets easier, is when people just don't want to get it and be godly. That just breaks my heart. It just drives me out of my tree. People that ought to know better, people that should do better, people that should be stepping up, people that have been on the journey and said the right words, and they don't do it. That just breaks my heart. Because we are in the people business, and if we do it right and we're honest before God and we're honest with each other, we're going to be okay. And I'm always amazed when people don't do that because they have their own agenda and they have their own issues. We all got issues. But as I've told you before, if you got a problem, make it God's problem. And if God's got a problem and you've given it to God, you're going to deal with it differently. And you're going to deal with it in a godly way. And what we do so often in life is we are so quick to blame other people, and we're also so quick to blame other people as to why we didn't do the God thing. Well, I'd have been godly, but that's Barbara's fault. Blaming Barbara here, you know. I mean, I could have been better at Barbara. You know, she really messed this up. No, it's my fault. If Barbara screwed up, then Barbara's got to own her screw up. And boy, that's a full-time job for her. But neither here nor there. But see, I've got a full-time job as well. I'm picking on her. I got a full-time job as well, though, because my own screw-ups are so many. I've got a full-time job worrying about that. I can't worry about her. She can't worry about mine. But I can't blame her for mine. And she can't blame me for hers. No, you can't. Edit that out. No, she can't. I mean, because that's the journey that we're on, taking responsibility. But what happens is we don't want to take responsibility. We want to blame other people. And that's where we stumble. And so the last thing on this list would be simply this, that the church will be a church where leadership is held in high value. Leadership is part of that God call. And so the church at 434 will hold leadership with a high value. I mean, leaders have to be encouragers and cheerleaders, but they also have to be strong. They're quarterbacks, they're captains. It is the way that we are called to flesh out who we are, and leaders will stand at the front line when it comes to taking risk, because that's part of who we are as well. And so when you say that and you look at all those things we've talked about the last couple of weeks, and then what is the DNA then? I mean, what is our DNA going to be? Well, it's going to be godly, and it's going to be, there's going to be some things that are just a part of who we are. And so here's what I can promise you. If you are a part of the Church of 434, you can expect the unexpected. Things will turn, and they will turn quickly. And we will do things, and we're going to move forward in faith. So expect the unexpected. So if you're a traditionalist, it's going to be tough. But if you make your tradition the unexpected, you're right on the money. Make that your tradition. Because Jesus is the one that laid that out. And we live in a rapidly changing world, and the world is changing so fast, and the culture reinvents itself, and yet we follow an unchanging God. But because God is unchanging, it gives us something to anchor to. A lot of people thought that because God is unchanging, culture wasn't supposed to change, and it never has been that way. That's ridiculous. But the church has modeled that, and that's wrong. And so expect the unexpected. The other thing that, part of our DNA that you can rely on is that irrelevance is irreverence. Because I think if the church ever becomes irrelevant in the world, it's irreverent to God, and it's a sin. We are relevant in the world around us. We have something to say. We need to have a voice, and we need to be strong in that voice, and we need to say it well. I always get nervous because the mouthpieces of Christianity sometimes are just babbling bozos. And the followers of Jesus that race to a microphone to speak in the midst of a crisis or in the midst of something weird, they just don't say it well. And we haven't been real good at that. And so we've got to learn to find our voice and learn to say it in a way that honors God, that can move people forward and help people in their journey of faith. And that's why what we say matters. That's why what you do matters. Also, you're going to discover that we're going to be a church that's going to love people when they least expect it and least deserve it. And in the midst of our stupidity sometimes, we'll discover that we're going to be loved. Playing it safe is risky, by the way. That's also a part of our DNA. We're not going to play it safe. We're going to roll the dice, and we're going to try to do ministry, and we're going to try to be everything that God's created us to be. Also in our DNA, you're going to find out that everyone has a place, and everyone is called to be used by God. And if you're willing, we'll find that place for you. And we'll figure out how to use you. The worst thing that you can do is step back and think for a minute that God has uncalled you. God never uncalls you. He calls you to something, and you're supposed to be obedient, and you're supposed to lead with integrity, and you're supposed to follow, and you're supposed to step in and step up and go all in. If you're willing to do that, you're going to find out you've got a place. Also, part of our DNA will be this. Pray like it depends on you. Pray like it depends on God. Work like it depends on you. I said it right. Pray like it depends on God. It does. Work like it depends on you. In other words, bring your best and bring your all, and you pray up and you work at it, and it's going to be good. See, a lot of times what we do in Christian world, not here, but in Christian world, we say, well, I'll pray about that. And sometimes that means you might pray about it. Sometimes you probably aren't going to pray about it. You need to pray about everything. And then roll up your sleeves and go to work. And work hard as you can, like it depends on you, but pray like it depends on God. And God's going to take what you do, bless it, make a difference, and you'll accomplish much more. Make sense? All right? Part of our DNA is this. Maturity does not equal conformity. In other words, the more you grow to be like Christ, that doesn't mean that we're all the same. Why would we be? You're gifted differently. You have different talents. You have different abilities. When you add depth to your life, you will see things with a spiritual sensitivity that you may not see any other way. But that depth doesn't necessarily mean that we all look the same. That's why He's gifted us the way that He has. That's why He's placed us in the places that He's put us. That's why we are able to touch and change the world with the love of Christ, because we are very different, and yet the thing that holds us together is the bond we have in Jesus. I've said it before, you'll hear me say it again, it's never too late to be who you might have been. You're still in the game. If you get another breath, you're still in the game. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you are in the journey, you're still in the game, if you want to be. Because God doesn't quit us, we don't need to quit God. Most people stumble because they quit. They just quit. They quit the process, they quit the journey, they just quit. They get mad and they take the toys and they go home. There's nothing about that honors God. Don't quit Him. Don't quit following. It's never too late to be who you might have been. part of our DNA, do it right, do it well. We've not talked about that. Another part that you might not realize is everything's an experiment. We never know how anything's going to turn out. Never. I'd like to think we do after all this time, but everything's an experiment. We're still figuring it out as we go. We try to plus it. We see if it's going to work. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. But it's all an experiment. And you know what? Sometimes experiments just help you discover what you need to know next time when you try to do it again. Okay. Everything's an experiment. And so, again, as I told you guys a few weeks ago, we've had things that we've tried that just didn't work, and we're willing to look at that. Other thing that you'll see as part of our DNA is, and that I believe with all of my heart, is you can't outgive God. You give your best, you bring your best, but you can't outgive God. God always does more. He steps up, and he does more than we ever thought. All right, those are big ideas and big concepts about church. It's about 10 minutes left. So, as we have done every week, are there questions, thoughts that you have about that, about something else in general, specifics? Up to you. What do you got? If not, we'll just keep going.
Every week I've been trying to figure out how to work this out.
You need a couple more weeks? Or?
No.
Okay.
You'll figure it out. We're no longer in a storefront. We're no longer in a warehouse. This building is in a community that's surrounded by, how do we impact this community? There's a lot.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a brand new challenge, isn't it? And it's certainly one that we're looking at and working on. It will be interesting in the days ahead. When we get to the first of the year, there's a couple ideas that I'm going to run your way that you'll hear, and you'll go, oh, that's what he was talking about back in November, that are some initiatives, I guess we would call them, of trying to get out and into the community just a little bit. But again, the question you ask, though, is impact the community. Now, here's the deal. I think we're already impacting the world, which means we're going to impact the community. One of the things we're discovering is that now that we're here, people are seeing us that never saw us before. Begs the question, why not? And again, you know, as dumb as it sounds, it's location, location, location. I mean, I really do think that the building and the location matters. Folks that have come by and visited, I mean, if you look around, there's new faces around here. I mean, or, you know, when I say new faces, I mean, you know, not that they needed to have new faces, but they're new faces to many of us. And, you know, and they come and say, well, we're just checking out what's going on here. We saw a new sign.
Cars in the parking lot.
I mean, it's okay. Let's see what that looks like. You know, and so when you start taking inventory, you know, I mean, that's part of the way you do it. But beyond that, I mean, you do have to be strategic, and you do have to figure out, you know, what kind of relationships you're going to build and how you're going to try to get people to know that you're there. And they've got to know that you have to know you're there before they know you care. And then after they know you care, then they might care to look at Jesus, maybe not. But at least you've done what you can to kind of create some inroads. This is a new opportunity for us, and we're not Bedouins wandering through the desert anymore. I mean, we did that for 20-some-odd years, and we figured, okay, maybe, you know, so now we're going to put down some roots and see what happens. And so it will be fun. So I didn't even answer your question, because we're figuring it out. I mean, we're figuring it out.
Well, you answered it.
That's why I was trying to figure out how to
we're not doing it.
Put it into a question of the past couple of weeks,
sure.
Because I know that we do have an impact on this community. We've done a lot over the past 20 years, but now we're in a facility to what looks like your traditional church building.
Sure.
And there's so much around here. So the neighborhood in itself, and people who have been used to driving by to where now there's a sign out front, and we're going in. People were looking at me wondering where I was going, driving straight across this morning. I'm going to church. Where are you going?
You're one of the people that drive through the parking lot to turn around and go back out the other side.
Jeff, there is some very local community at the barber shop. The lady asked me, "Well, what church do you go to?" And I told her. She said, "Oh, that's the one where the sign just changed."
I know.
And
you'll find out a lot.
Know,
yeah.
In my men's group, there's a man who is going through a divorce, and he's got two twin boys that are 14. He was going to church every week with those boys. That's when he would see them. He got back together with his wife, and he hasn't been to church since. He said, "Russell," says, "I think I want to check out that church you've been talking about."
Sure.
There are people, and I want to tell you something. I've been sitting here thinking it, there's a man that I've invited to come to church today, and he's I do a men's group that's not associated with this church at all on Thursdays, but he's gay, And my concern is, what is going to happen if he does come to the door? I don't know that he will. Are we going to accept him and love him and say, hey, we've all got sins? Or are we going to say, you know, you're in the wrong place. You need to find another church. So that scared me because I want him to just people just love him and because
on that point I want to reassure you, when we were in the warehouse, my cousin who is gay and has, you know, her wife, whatever you want to call, for 30 years has said that she's never felt as accepted as she has when she's come to visit us at this church. And then she said, if she ever went to church, you know, if she decided to go, she'd come to our church. She said she never felt judged, and she never felt like, you know, anything but accepted when she's come for different events and to visit and things like that. So have no fear if your friend shows up. I mean, really no fear at all.
Just, you know, Russell found out that it's probably one of the most creative uses of the blue marbles that we gave out at the beginning of this series. Of anybody in the room, and so he's got. Ask him what he's been doing with them. It's pretty, very, very cool. Some cool stories, and also, you know, again, part of it is becoming a force in the community as well. I mean, you guys you have no reason to know this, but you know, of course, Caden is a member, student. He's a member of a school. Yeah, he's a student across the street at the Creative Inspiration Journey School. You may not realize this, but last Friday evening, they had their fall festival, and they're parking here. I mean, as we talk with the school, and of course, you know, they know who we are and who he is and where it comes from. So you've got now, you've got a school across the street that is just partnering, that wanted to ask for permission, that's going out in their emails. I mean, they're letting folks know that there's a church across the street. This church is our friend. And our board doesn't even know this yet, but the director of the school said, you know, like, if we start expanding, if you guys ever decide to expand over there, you know, we might want to be in on that. Maybe there's something we could do because you've got space and we don't. And what would that look like if you're going to build an educational building, you know, which is really, really cool. And again, I don't have any idea what that looks like because, you know, because she didn't come behind that and say, I'll give you $1 million to start. But, you know, it's still. But she did say they had money. They had money. So, you know, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. So anyway, that could be a. But all of that works, though. I mean, all that works and location matters. And so, you know, we'll figure that out.
Well, from the city side, the city is totally fascinated with us because when John and Jeff went in and talked to the city manager, they were thrilled to hear that there was two churches merging, as they put it, together, because he said that just doesn't happen. And so from the city side, we made an impact, so they're watching us to see how we're going to succeed here.
They're watching John. Yeah. Not really. Keeping their eye on him.
Well, even the Sharing Center, when I emailed them, can you go ahead and start giving me ages and stuff so that when we're shopping, and I said, oh, by the way, this is our address this year. And she goes, I pass by that all the time. I'm so glad to know it's you, because she knew we had moved out of the Sharing Center, but she wasn't aware of where we lied. And she goes, I drive by there every day. So she was excited that it was here. So I said, it's easy for them to find. Like, oh, yes, they'll be able to find it.
They let us put the face of your things in there.
Oh,
but
great.
The registration.
All right. We're out of time. Let's pray. We'll pick up next week. Heavenly Father, you are so good to us, and you have blessed us in so many ways and allowed us to be a part of something that is so much bigger than we are. And yet, Lord, you know, sometimes I'm amazed when I go to your word and I realize that the church, the body of Christ, that's your A plan for reaching the world. Lord, we are tragically flawed. We're nowhere near perfect. And yet, you allow us, because of you, to do something, to be something, and become a part of something that matters for an eternity. And so we're grateful for that. I pray that we would embrace that, that we would embrace it with a sense of awe and reverence. But Lord, also that we would embrace it with a sense of enthusiasm and excitement. because it is the best offer we've ever gotten. And it's the only thing that we're going to do that's going to matter for an eternity. And it's the only thing that we're going to do that lasts. And so, Lord, help us as we strive together to touch and change the world that we live in with your love. Be with us as we get ready to worship this day. We desire to celebrate who you are and how you can change our lives. Teach us that. In Jesus' name, amen.